I'd sit down with the players and get a resolution on when you can sit down with the players and talk?
It hasn't happened yet. I don't know when it's going to happen. Whilst it's a key issue that we've got to consider in the medium term, in the short term, you know, my job is to prepare the team and to get them ready to play and perform on Saturday.
It's going to be almost impossible to get them to focus, but how do you get them to do that?
Not at all. They're not going to be here having to answer questions about it. We've had a couple of chats about it, and clearly they're feeling for their teammates and the situation that they're in, and starting to realise the gravity and weight of that situation. But we've spoken openly about it insofar as our responsibility to provide support to each other and to be there for each other. But there's also that pragmatic attitude in that there's not a great deal that we can do to impact on that right now. So there's plenty that we can. So let's go about our business.
Nathan, it seems like there's some frustration that you have among yourself and Gary and Andy that you haven't been able to talk to the players. Is that the case?
No, I think you're misreading that. No, we understand the processes that need to take place. The responsibility and the onus on the player to receive their own legal representation, and then in many ways they're taking advice from someone that they've employed or put into a position that's looking out for 100% of their interests, and we understand that entirely, and look to support those two boys whilst making sure that the club is represented strongly as well.
Nathan, do you hold out much hope that the contaminated meat might be the reason behind it?
I'm not a scientist. I haven't done a lot of study in the area. All our boys, ate out. We had a couple of team dinners. One of them happened to be a steak dinner. But I don't know about the efficacy of the possibility of the substance coming from something that was ingested in Queenstown. But as we've said, we've gone through what we've provided the players, and there's no doubt at all that the internal environment here and what we've been able to provide to our players has been beyond reproach.
Do you take the same hard line as Eddie said this morning?
Well, that's a reality, and that's the stark reality that Josh and Lockie find themselves in, and really that's Asada's opinion. That's the way that has happened. Ignorance is no excuse, and we need to. There's still plenty of information that we need to understand to get to the bottom of that.
Peter Harcourt talked to clubs about illicit drugs and potentially being laced with amphetamine. Do you even ask the players about that, or is that something you will explore?
He didn't mention any specific substances. Our presentation from the AFL around that was on the afternoon of February 10, and the boys' tests were done on that morning. The walking out of that presentation, the one thing that sat most vividly in my mind was that reality that there is the chance that the two codes could overlap. I'm sure it was prevalent in front of mind for our players as well.
Do you think we'd have to look at the drug code, both the illicit and the performance-enhancing skill?
I mean, obviously, in the middle of what we're in, it's not the time for motherhood statements, so we'll look after our players against the codes as they're set right now, and we'll probably be able to give a reflection on our experiences and on potentially how the codes could be improved post that.
Would it shock you when you find out the cause of it is from an illicit drug substance and this is going to the reward system?
I'm shocked that there's the substance in their system, full stop. So we still need to get that information.
What was the teammates' reactions when you told them yesterday?
Oh, they were shocked. You could have anyone in the 18 coaches, presidents, CEOs sit in front of you, and they'll say the same thing. We We don't plan for this. We don't expect it. All our planning is to avoid this situation. We provide the right environments to our players, the right education to our players. But as Barmy said yesterday, we then hand over the responsibility and the onus is with the player to look after his career and to look after his profession in the best way possible. So as a club, yeah, we are surprised that we've returned a positive A sample, but at the same time, that is the facts, and that is the facts as we stand, and we'll try and support our players as best we possibly can, and find the best outcome for them and for the footy club.
Are the teammates allowed to have contact in an informal sense?
Yeah, I don't think there's any law against that.
Well, except how critical was Scott McKeith? I think you said last night he wasn't going to be the best 22 when I was coming back from a hamstring, but it's pretty crucial for you through the season, I would imagine.
Yeah, we've got 45 players on the list. We ought to maximise the output of every one of those players. We've spoken quite heavily internally about having a squad mentality, not relying on Pendlebury, Sidebottom, Cloak, Swan, as we may have over the last 12 to 24 months. We don't. We believe that we're going to perform best by playing really solid team footy. So we need all of our players up and about. We need them all to find their very best and to play their roles when called upon. And we're looking for the depth of our list to do that.
Have you spoken to the AFL about potentially what happens with a provisional suspension in terms of other players, in terms of rookies and the like?
No, we haven't got to that. We haven't got to that point yet. Clearly, that's a bit of a longer term situation. I'd only be speculating because no, we haven't. I haven't spoken with Barmy about that.
Just to clarify that point before, Andrew asked, if they're 10-15, they're out. And you said, yes, essentially. Do you mean that they will be let go by a common?
No, the SADA's rules are that if they're found to have a positive B sample off the back of the A, that the rules are pretty clear. Obviously, there will be a process that would need to be followed beyond that. But no, we're supporting the players yet to form a position or an opinion on the decisions of the players or the conduct of the players as we still haven't been able to ascertain that from them.
Sorry, do you think the gravity of it all is sunk in there, or do you think it's still the club, I guess, is still in the middle of the stage?
No, we're fully focused on preparing for this week. Bar me opening up to you guys to answer the questions. We're clearly moving forward over here with what we need to do with Josh and Lockie, but 98% of the football club are focused on preparing and performing on Saturday night. It does. It galvanises them.
Would you have picked Josh
this one? Josh would have played, yeah.
What does that do to you in midfield? Maybe give a young kid an opportunity?
It provides opportunities for someone who's up, just the same as if Josh or Lockie were actually injured and couldn't play. Well, then it provides opportunity for the next guy. And as I said, we've been focusing on that through the pre-season.
You mentioned it galvanised,
but do
they feel a bit let down as well?
Like us, they haven't got a lot of information to go on. So, right now they're just looking out for their mates.
Are you hopeful at all of a positive outcome for these two
teams? I am absolutely hopeful.
Bucks, what was it say about the league when you said yesterday how your synapses were popping, that we've had four of these issues in 2 years? What does it say about the pressure on players to excel, maybe putting aside these two players?
Yeah, look, I think we've got to remember our players are subject to the most stringent testing and drug code situations that you'll find in the world. I mean, the illicit drug code, they put their hand up to say that, we want to be responsible to this, or we'll expose ourselves to this. The drug code, signing on with WADA and having those high expectations of the way we go about it. The AFL, I think, has always not been afraid to take stances on what position we hold in society, and we try, we put our players, we put our clubs on a pedestal. it's really easy when things don't go well for you guys to whack the AFL or to whack a club or to whack a player. But I don't think it hurts to have those high standards and high expectations. And yeah, sometimes you're going to fall short of them, but without those high expectations and high standards, you're not going to live up to them more often than not. So I don't mind that the AFL does that. I don't mind that the players have put their hand up for that. But as I said, we're probably in a better position to comment on what's going to look best going forward and what's fair. The world's changing, things shift, things evolve, and we want to be a part of that discussion.
Would it be naive to think that AFL is a clean sport 100%? Is that a naive thing to think
about? Well, if we were naive, we wouldn't have the testing procedures in place. So they're there, and the education processes are strong. We're talking about young men who make thousands of decisions every day on what's right and what's wrong, what's good for them, what's good for the club, what's good for their teammates, where does this fit in, you know, the values that I was taught from my parents, the values that the club espouses. I mean, all of these decisions we make, we're talking about 21, 22, 23-year-olds that are going to make mistakes. I still make plenty of mistakes as a 42-year-old. And in the end, they're going to make mistakes, and we support them through that, because without that, there's no growth. But we're not naive, but the facts are that we're dealing with young men that are pretty good at footy, but they're still maturing, and they're still growing into themselves, and we'll support them through that process.
Which players are mixed to feel Thomas's
We had quite a number of good performers through the NAB Cup. I mean, Tim Broomhead stood up against Richmond. We played 24 players against Bulldogs, so we still need to drop a couple off there. Paddy Karnesis has been really solid throughout. Paul Siegman's coming up and thereabouts. Jordan DeGoey performed really well against Richmond last Thursday. So we've got a number of players there, Ben Kennedy as well. So, yeah, don't worry, we haven't got a shortage of hungry players that are ready to take that mantle and take their opportunity.
As Jack Crisp is obviously really relieved, I know it wasn't at Collingwood, but take us through his perspective.
Yeah, look, it's probably best case scenario for Crispy. Once again, you know, all the education in the world, but a poor decision. And I think his openness and honesty, you know, with the AFL was something that was considered. With the penalty, Jack's he's gone about his business here fantastically. He's just a hard worker, no fuss, head down, bum up, and gets the job done. And I think he's happy to have. He's embarrassed about it, but he's happy to have it the other side of him. And clearly, looking forward to the season ahead. No, he's still going to, as we've said, he's still going to need more game time, more football to get himself back to be ready for, you know, if he's coming in as a key defender, he's going to have to play 90, low 90% game time. The most that he's been exposed to so far is probably 75% of an 80-minute game. So we still need to build him up. And as we've said all along, we're not going to rush Ben back before his time. When we roll him out onto the AFL arena, not only will he be physically robust and ready to go, but he'll be in good form because he's going to have to push through past a couple of his mates to get there.
So there was no setback between that being football game
and not playing? What we've been able to do with him is manage his loads, progress them gradually, and across that time, there have been times when we've offloaded. But that has been part of a graduated plan to get him back up to speed.
You made a decision on Corey Gold's status?
His status?
Yeah, whether he's going to be upgraded or
not. No, we haven't yet.
What do you do with Beamsy? Do you put Crisp to him? Do you team defence him?
Put him in the same boat as Zorko, Aish, Redden, Rockcliffe, and we have to, our midfield needs to beat their midfield. No idea.
Do you know that interest if he's clearly moved on from Collingwood to another
player? No, yeah, exactly. You guys write the stories, write the storylines and find the angles, so I'll let you do that.
Thank you.
Cheers.